Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother and humble servant in the Lord, Radio Reformer, am in studio to present to you Proposition Number 57. Proposition Number 57. My dear brothers and sisters, tuning in from Africa, the continent of Africa, that is, I welcome you to all of our dear saints tuning in from Europe. I welcome you to those tuning in from the Caribbean and the Americas and parts of Asia. I salute you in the precious name of the Lord. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are waging war. And as we wage war against Roman Catholicism and its end time leavening of the African American church, we call upon you to come out of her. Because Revelation 18 verse 4 says that God calls his people out of Babylon because he's about to judge her. God is about to judge the harlot church. And that's why we play that song, Come Out of Her, My People. Some have been caught up, some have been duped, some have been hoodwinked, some have been misled to join and to come under the ecumenical tent of the harlot of harlots. But we, like John the Baptist, tell you to come out of her. Come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. Run out of there. Run out of there like Lot ran out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Run. 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 I just have one announcement to make, and that is tomorrow, Friday, here on Reformation News, Sister Marie is going to be in studio, as she is every Friday, to present a part two of a broadcast entitled The post modern world's war on the gospel truth. The postmodern world's war on the gospel truth. Now, if you tuned in on Friday, you know what a fantastic, mind-blowing broadcast that was. Well, Sister Marie is going to do it all over again. That's right. Sister Marie knows how to put together these wonderful broadcasts. She is led of the Spirit of God. And I can't wait for tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't miss tomorrow night's broadcast. And also, let me just put in another plug here for Sister Marie. Every Tuesday, she does the End Time News Report. And my goodness gracious, that is 2 hours of nonstop reporting, presenting newspaper articles and audio of things that are going on around the world that pertain to apostasy, that pertain to the great falling away, to the rise of Antichrist, to the one world religion, everything in time. Sister Marie presents in the End Time News Report every Tuesday. You don't want to miss Tuesday, and you don't want to miss Fridays. And then, of course, you don't want to miss when yours truly is in studio presenting the propositions. The number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis II and the members of the Joint College of African American Asinine Hee-Hawing Bishops, the number here is 646-564-9730. These individuals, these members of this elite ecclesiastical pagan club, have an open-ended invitation to come on this broadcast anytime they desire. And I'm just getting tired of punching them in the face. And I've already punched them in the face 56 times. 56 times I've punched them in the face. 56. Without them attempting to block a punch, without them counter giving me a counterpunch, the Joint College of African American Bishops are lifeless. And that's what happens when you don't have the Holy Spirit. When you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're lifeless. And you keep getting punched in the face. Well, here comes punch number 57. Punch number 57 is going directly to the kisser. This is going to hit them right upside the jaw, the glass jaw that they have. It's going right upside their jaw. Now, we presented yesterday some information that perhaps you don't know. When the Joint College of African American Bishops elevates a man, enthrones a man, consecrates him as bishop, in case you didn't know this, that man, from the moment that he is enthroned, from the moment that he becomes bishop of the church, engages in what I call spiritual adultery. Why spiritual adultery? Because according to Roman Catholic canon law, when a bishop is consecrated, the bishop marries his church. And mind you, there is a ring exchange. There is a ring exchange in the consecration, elevation, and enthronement of a bishop in the ceremony. The bishop gets a ring. Bishop gets a ring. Now, this is horrible. Why is it horrible? Well, according to John the Baptist, a preacher plays the role of Christ's best man. Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. At no time can his church, at no time can the bride of Christ, the church, marry anything but Jesus. But according to Roman Catholic canon law, when a bishop is consecrated, when a bishop is ordained, when a bishop is enthroned, he marries the church that he oversees, or the diocese. So, John the Baptist said to the people, don't look to me. I'm not anything special. I'm just the best man at the wedding. Christ is the groom. the church is the bride. Now, as the best man never fools around with the bride. Have you ever attended a wedding where the wedding ceremony is conducted and the vows of matrimony are exchanged and the best man walks off with the bride and goes to the honeymoon with the bride and leaves the groom standing at the altar? No. And that's exactly what John the Baptist was saying in John chapter 3, verses 28 through 31. He says, I'm the best man. I don't have prime time. Only the groom has prime time because the groom marries the bride. When you go to a wedding, you don't go to a wedding to see the best man or the maids of honor. No, you go to see the bride and the groom. And when the preacher gets through marrying them and saying you may now kiss your bride, it's not the best man that steps up and kisses the bride and the kisser. It's the groom. People would be aghast if when the preacher said you may now kiss the bride, the best man shoved the groom out of the way and then went ahead and kissed the best man, that is, and kissed the bride right in the kisser. Punches would be thrown. Punches would be thrown. Because that's not the best man's place. The best man goes out and gets a bride for the groom. He doesn't get a bride and then runs off or, you know, cuts out with the bride. There's no elopement. Well, according to Roman Catholic canon law, every bishop who is not married, because you know in the Roman Catholic Church, all priests, bishops, archbishops, cardinals, and the Pope, they all take a vow of celibacy. So they get actually married to their churches. But how can that be when the church is the bride of Christ? Well, there's a problem there. There's a problem. Now, in the African-American church, you see, it poses a problem because Mr. J. Delano Ellis, in his consecration services, always promotes the giving of the ring. I mean, he's following Roman Catholic canon law. Everything in Mr. J. Delano Ellis's book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church, was copied, verbatim almost, from Roman Catholic canon law. Mr. Ellis created nothing. He copied everything. He copied everything. This is why Mr. Ellis won't call the broadcast. Despite the invitations, I mean, we've been doing this now. This will be day number 57. And he's received, at least in each broadcast, I tell him two or three times to call in. You do the math. He has an open-ended, but he won't call. He won't call. Because, you see, when I present these propositions, I give you scripture. When he presents his case, he'll give you canon law. But canon law violates the canon of Holy Scripture. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, listen, spiritual chaperone, I got to watch over you like a hawk. Why? Because I've espoused you to one groom, and that is Christ. You're to have one husband. You're not supposed to have three husbands and five lovers. I've espoused you to one husband, even Christ. I've engaged you, says Paul, as the spiritual shepherd, as an apostle. Now, the apostle Paul, who, by the way, was not married. The apostle Paul was not married. The apostle Paul never says, you know, let me marry the church. No, he can't marry. No. Why? Because he espoused the church. He betrothed the church. He engaged the church to one, namely Christ. It would be a spiritual abomination. It would be a transgression of the law for Paul to say, I am marrying you, the Corinthian church. Paul says, I'm a man. the church is female, so I'm going to marry. No, no, but that's what the Roman Catholic Church does. That's what it does. And Mr. Ellis is following Roman Catholic canon law. And I'm going to play the audio for you. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you. I have the audio. I have the audio. So, let me read something to you before I actually get into the proposition. Let me just read to you something here that you need to know. You just need to know this little bit of information. It's a very important piece of information, and it's critical that you hear this. It's important. Let me read it to you out of Mr. Ellis's book. And this will do you a lot of good, my dear brothers and sisters. Okay. Now, on page 41, Mr. Ellis says, the Joint College of Bishops is Anglican Apostolic by tradition. Anglican Apostolic. So what does that mean? You're saying, okay, Radio Reformer, what does that mean? Well, it really means that this joint college claims that its succession, its line of succession comes from two sources. One is that they claim to be the successors of the Roman Catholic Church. That's what they claim. They claim to be the successors of the Roman Catholic Church, because, again, let me read to you on page 41. It says, the Joint College of Bishops is Anglican Apostolic by tradition. So now, apostolic means Roman Catholic. But it's not just apostolic, it's Anglican, which means it's apostolic, but its roots are through the Anglican Church. And you're saying, Radio Reformer, you're confusing me. Okay. So now let's go back to page 22. Mr. Ellis says on page 22, because of that contention, we hold dear and inviolate our apostolic succession, which we claim through Augustine of Rome. See, who's Augustine of Rome? Well, and he goes on to say, who was sent by the Holy See to England to establish the English church. That's why he's Anglican, because he's part of the English church. But the guy who went to establish the English church for Rome came from Rome, whose name was Augustine, but it's not Augustine of Hippo. It's not the great theologian from the 3rd century. It's Augustine of Canterbury, and he was made Archbishop of Canterbury once he went to do Rome's bidding. He went to do Rome's bidding in England. So this is why on page 41, my brothers and sisters, he says, the Joint College of Bishops is Anglican Apostolic by tradition. Okay. So Anglican means the Church of England. Yes, because Augustine of Canterbury was sent by the Pope to England to establish the English Church. It is this Augustine of Canterbury that Mr. Ellis says here. Now, he doesn't say Augustine of Canterbury. He simply says, because of that contention, we hold dear and inviolate our apostolic succession, which we claim through Augustine of Rome. And Augustine of Rome is correct, because that's where he originally came from. But when he went to establish the Catholic Church in England, the Pope made him the Bishop of Canterbury, the Archbishop of Canterbury. He was the first ever Archbishop of Canterbury. This Augustine of Rome, who was sent by the Holy See to England to establish the English church. But that's not correct, you see. He wasn't sent to establish the English church. He was sent to establish the Roman Catholic Church in England. So he's telling, see, you just got to read. You just got to read and decipher. So Mr. Ellis and his group there, they're Roman Catholics. They're Roman Catholics, but they're double agents. They don't want you to know that they're Roman Catholic double agents, but that's what they are. You just got to read the literature. So now, here is Mr. Ellis talking about vestments and plumes and rings and chains. Here he is.
Every month or so, there's a new promotion, a new installation, a new consecration. Boy, we have a plethora of bishops, overseers, and apostles being elevated. And I keep asking myself, for what? And because we are so accustomed to focusing on the present, how many of us are really planning for the future of our organizations and our churches? How many of us have a succession plan? I mean a succession plan beside our sons or our daughters, our natural family, our dynastic kind of thing. Well, we need to think about it, because if we don't, our organizations, as great as they may be, will die shortly after we're off the scene. Now you tell me, isn't that a worthwhile discussion? Isn't that a worthwhile series of thoughts? Meet us at the Joint College this March. Go online, hurry up. collegeofbishops.org. Register. I need to see you there. We are past the robes. We got that down pat.
He's going to talk about the robes. He's going to talk about the chains. He's going to talk about the plumes. And he's going to talk about the rings. Listen up.
Excuse the pat. We know how to put on vestments and plumes and chains and rings and things.
See? We know how to put on vestments. He's talking about Roman Catholic vestments. He knows how to put on plumes, those Roman Catholic plumes. Faggot wear. In other words, plumes is faggot wear. Homo wear. Queer wear. Is it any wonder that all of the Roman Catholic dioceses in the United States have gone bankrupt, paying out pedophilia and sex abuse cases? So he talks about vestments and plumes and chains and rings. Now, when I think of rings, I think of Eddie Long and those four boys who testified that Eddie Long in a hotel room married each one of them separately. I mean, you know, he would speak to them and say, "We're going to get married. You and I are going to get married, and let's exchange rings." And Eddie Long got those boys to exchange rings with him, and those boys who were confused, mentally confused, because their pastor wanted to marry them, a man wanted to marry, they're exchanging rings, and that's why Eddie Long was doing whatever he wanted to with those boys. Because he gave them rings. Well, that's what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. They teach that the bishop marries the church. But that's spiritual adultery. Why? Because the church is to be espoused is supposed to be engaged to Jesus. And that's why Paul says, I watch you like a hawk, does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 11, 2, that I may present you as a chaste virgin, a virgin that hasn't been tampered with. But here's the bishop marrying. Now, Roman Catholic law says the bishop marries the church. That's why Mr. Ellis has ring ceremonies. He has ring ceremonies. Now, let me go again. Let me read this to you again, because this might be hard for some of you to believe. But you see, when you're talking about Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, that's what the Roman Catholic Church is. It's a mystery religion. It's a secret society with things that only the initiates know about. And most people standing there at an enthronement service, at a consecration service, at a elevation service of a bishop, don't realize that the exchanging of rings, or the bishop getting a ring on his finger, means that he or she is marrying the church. But here it is. Out of the Roman Catholic Dictionary of the Liturgy on page 551, it says, the episcopal ring is received by the bishop at his episcopal ordination as a mark of his jurisdiction and dignity. It clearly signifies a spiritual union and the alliance contracted by the bishop and his particular church. In other words, see, he's contracted, like when you take on the contract of marriage. Where you contracted holy matrimony. Okay, now, in the Catholic Dictionary by Atwater, published in 1958, on page 434, it says, the episcopal ring signifies the seal of faith and the marriage which a bishop contracts, there's the word again, with his diocese. See, the bishop who has taken a vow of celibacy, doesn't have a wife, the bishop marries his church. Let me read it to you again. The episcopal ring signifies the seal of faith and the marriage which a bishop contracts with his, I mean, it can't be any plainer than that. I mean, you would have to be retarded not to understand that. I mean, that's clear as day. In the 20th century Encyclopedia of Catholicism, in volume 83, called What is a Bishop? By Joseph Urteson, he writes, on page number 59, now remember, he was authorized by the Roman Catholic Church to write this volume in this encyclopedia. This is a massive encyclopedia. He writes, the bishop, spouse of his church, as symbolized by his pastoral ring, is the father of souls, charged to communicate to them life and grace through the sacraments of which he is the chief minister. There you have it. The bishop, spouse of his church, spouse, married, spouse. When I go to a wedding, when I go out and I introduce people, I say, this is my wife, this is my spouse. When I fill out applications and the application says, please write the name of your spouse, I write the name of my wife. Well, the bishop's spouse is the church, according to Roman Catholic canon law. Okay, on page number 106 in the same book by Urteson, this page on the top heading reads, the bishop at the end of his life. It goes on to say, a day will come when he, the bishop, must lay down his post as watchman, wedded to his church. He is in principle indissoluble united to it. His love for it will move him to leave it when his powers decline, when it is impossible for him to fulfill his onerous task, even with the help of his auxiliary or coadjutor appointed to succeed him after his death. So what is the bishop here? The bishop wedded to his church. See, that's Roman Catholic teaching. That's Roman Catholic teaching. Now, Mr. Ellis told everybody in his book, that they are Anglican, Apostolic, and Tradition. Which means, they come from Augustine of Canterbury. They follow their succession through the line of Augustine Canterbury. They go through the Anglican Church, and the Anglican Church goes all the way back to Augustine of Canterbury, but Augustine of Canterbury was initially Augustine of Rome. So they trace their apostolic succession all the way back to Rome. These people are Roman Catholic. They're a Roman Catholic offshoot. They're a Roman Catholic satellite ministry. So now, when bishops are getting ordained by the Joint College of African American Bishops with J. Delano Ellis as chief consecrator, he reminds them that they've been ordained according to canon law. What canon law? The canon of Holy Scripture? No, you can't find any of this garbage, rubbish, gibberish in the Bible, which is the canon of Holy Scripture. No, you have to go to the canon of the church. What church? Well, since he's Anglican Apostolic, it's the canon of the Catholic Church. And you will say, well, no, it's really the canon of the Anglican Church. But where did the Anglican Church get their canon from? From Rome. It's the same horse manure. It's the same thing. So now, if the bishop of Rome, when he is elevated and consecrated and made bishop, is married off to his church, that's spiritual adultery. Because according to John the Baptist, and according to Paul, and according to John in Revelation 19, there's the wedding of the Lamb, and the bride has made herself ready. The church is to have only one wedding. That's when Jesus returns. She's not supposed to be having all kinds of weddings with all kinds of men and women. That's spiritual adultery. Is it any wonder that the Roman Catholic Church is called the mother of harlots? Because she breeds and gives birth to all of these satellite ministries that are marrying off these jackass bishops to local congregations? But here's a greater implication. Now Mr. Ellis is ordaining women into the bishopric. A woman is female. The church, the bride is female. So what is Mr. Ellis promoting when he unites, when he elevates a female bishop, when he consecrates a female bishop, when he enthrones a female bishop? Well, if the same applies to the man, the man marries his church, then the female bishop is marrying her church. The problem is that the church is female and the bishop is female. That's called spiritual lesbianism. Now, here's Mr. Ellis. Mr. Ellis is consecrating a woman, elevating a woman to the bishopric. Now, I want you to hear that he says to this woman, now, we've done everything according to canon law. In other words, we've done everything as the Holy Roman Catholic Church prescribes. We have followed what Rome wants to the letter. But my brothers and sisters, do you see the horrible implications of this? Do you see what's going on here? Can you understand? This is lesbianism. Now, it's bad enough that when the man is made a bishop and he marries a church, that's adultery. I mean, he is taking the bride of Christ. That's what he's doing. Because all the book, and my, listen, folks, listen. when the book comes out, because I have a book entitled Lesbo Bishoprics, I'm going to deal with all of this. I'm going to document. I'm going to cite every source. I'm going to show you that when the Roman Catholic Church says we're elevating a bishop, that bishop marries his church. That's why the bishop puts on a ring. Well, if you're doing it in the African-American church according to Roman Catholic canon law, then you're following the same meaning, which means you are marrying these men to the church, you are marrying these women to the church, and men with women, that's adultery, and women with women, that's adultery plus lesbianism in a spiritual sense now. But when the Bible speaks of the heart of church in Revelation 17, it's speaking of a harlotry in a spiritual sense, never in a physical sense, always in a spiritual sense. So let's listen, because they're ending this portion of the consecration service. And I just want you to hear out of the mouth of J. Delano Ellis that he tells the woman he just ordained that we've done it according to canon law. Here it is.
Make her a bishop in your holy apostolic church. Lord, in this hour of so many strange things, we pray that she would be a...
In this hour of so many strange things, yeah, it's strange for you to be ordaining women as bishops. It's strange that you would be ordaining men as bishops according to Roman Catholic canon law. Yes, we are in an hour of strange things. I agree with you.
Been faithful in raising up priests and kings throughout all generations, and his hands are laid on Jacqueline McCullough. Make her a bishop in your holy apostolic church. Lord, in this hour of so many strange things, we pray that she would be a light bearer, that she would be a light raiser, a standard bearer, rebuke the day of evil, the hand of death, depression and disaster be cursed through her, and those that come up under her apostolic charge, use her as she stands along with us. Bless,
hallelujah,
consecrate,
yes,
anoint,
yes,
use,
yes,
and then bless your whole church,
yes,
throughout the world,
yes,
as she takes her place,
Jesus,
in this holy calling.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now listen closely. Listen to what J. Delano Ellis, he's going to speak now. He had other people praying for her. Now he's going to speak. And listen to what he says.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
We've done what church or canon law requires.
Now, what church law is that? What canon law? Because there is no, when you go to the African American church, you ask anybody, because these guys claim to be the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. Well, I was born and raised in a Pentecostal church. We never had canon law. This is a new thing. This is a new thing. What church law? This was never part of church law. What canon law? We never had. Well, he's talking about Roman Catholic canon law. He tells you that in his book. We claim our succession through Augustine of Rome. Augustine of Rome. And I just showed you in all those Catholic books, and I haven't even gotten started. For the purpose of this broadcast, I only cite two or three sources. In my book, Lesbo Bishopric, I mean, I bury you in sources, Roman Catholic sources, and they explain actually what's going on. A bishop gets elevated, he marries his church. This is a wedding ceremony. And if a man is marrying a woman and the woman belongs to Christ, that's adultery. And if a woman is marrying the church, and the church belongs to Christ, that's adultery plus lesbianism, because the church is always spoken of in the female gender, and a female bishop is female. This is spiritual lesbianism. Now, he just said, we've done what church or canon law requires. What church are you talking about? It's not the Pentecostal church. It's not the church that sprang out of the Azusa Street revivals. No, this is Roman Catholic. And I mean, you can watch the video on YouTube and you can see they're all dressed in Roman Catholic jackass garb. Here it is again.
We've done what church or canon law requires. 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 We've done what church or canon law requires.
Well, again, let's go back to the ring. The Episcopal ring signifies the seal of faith and the marriage which a bishop contracts with his diocese. That's canon law. I'm going to hit Mr. Ellis with so many sources, and then I'm going to quote him out of his book where he claims to succeed from Augustine of Rome. And he doesn't tell you which Augustine. Maybe he doesn't even know himself. He's such an ignoramus. Because if you leave it just Augustine, you can tend to think, wow, this guy goes back to Augustine of Hippo, the great theologian. No, it's not Augustine of Hippo. It's Augustine of Canterbury. Augustine of Canterbury was just a stooge of Rome. Like Mr. Ellis is a stooge of Rome. Augustine of Rome, who later became Augustine of Canterbury, was doing the Pope's leavening in England, was doing the Pope's corrupting in England, was doing the Pope's perverting in England. Well, Mr. J. Delano Ellis is a stooge of Rome today, and he is doing Rome's bidding in the black church, leavening and corrupting and perverting. And marrying off portions of the bride of Christ to dim-witted individuals who don't even know what they're participating in. This poor woman is so dim-witted, she doesn't even know what she's participating in.
But here's more. Here's more. Here's more. I'm going to bring it up now. I'm so enraged. And this is why we have to declare war. This is why we must present our bullet points. This is why we must come on the air every day. They're polluting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've declared war on stupidity. We've declared war on ignorance. These poor black people, the Pope and Mr. Ellis, is taking them back to the Dark Ages. He's taking them back. You know, they're back in the Dark Ages again. These dimwits are. These dimwitted new bishops. Well, here's Mr. Ellis giving this woman her ring. Listen to this.
Her ring, a symbol of government and collegiality with her fellow bishops.
When he uses the word collegiality, it simply means that they're in bed. The whole lot of them, the whole institution, the whole college is in bed with the harlot of Revelation 17 and 18. Collegiality means as a corpus, as a body. We're in bed with Rome. Jesus never gave his disciples rings.
Peter and John, when they went to the temple to pray and they came across the lame man who was asking for money, Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not." Peter did not have a gold ring jeweled like these clowns who claim to succeed him do. But here's more.
She is one among all of us.
When he says all of us, he's talking about the joint college.
This is her ring, symbol of authority. And we respect her. Truthfully, you don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. Put it on. Get it on. You get it on. Okay. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out to shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Teach, bishop.
Ah. Oh, I didn't know that. Just read up. How you be? Put your hand down and just speak. And, you know, gentlemen with class know when she extends her hand with that ring, we just simply salute her by kissing the ring. We ain't got to hug and squeeze it and bang her into us. Don't do that. She's a bishop. She's a bishop. Bishops that will, in a minute, you can come and salute her.
In other words, they can bow and come and kiss the ring as Rome does. This is all Roman Catholic. You attend a Roman Catholic enthronement service and you're going to see the same thing. You're going to see the same gibberish, the same nonsense, the same foolishness. So, if a man marries a woman, if a bishop marries the church, and the church is female, and the bishop is male, and the church is supposed to be espoused to Christ, as Paul said, that I may present you as a chaste virgin. Not that this church went through 5 or 6 or 7 bishops, because every time a bishop dies, then a new bishop is elevated, and that church marries the new bishop. This a local church can have, you know, 50 husbands in one lifetime as it goes through different bishops. Well, now they're ordaining women. A female bishop marrying the bride of Christ, which is female. My brothers and sisters, that's spiritual lesbianism. Spiritual lesbianism. And we're going to have to leave it there. But I know you can't wait to get your hands on the book, Episcopal Lesbianism, Lesbo Bishoprics. Well, my brothers and sisters, don't forget tomorrow, Sister Marie will be in studio to do that broadcast on the postmodern world's war against the gospel truth. I'll be back on Saturday with proposition number 58. Sunday with proposition number 59, and Monday with proposition number 60. Mr. Ellis, I'm getting tired of punching your organization in the face, and no one responds. Mr. Ellis, do you think you can respond? Do you think you can call the broadcast? I hope you will. I pray that you do. Because if not, I'm just going to keep punching. I'm going to keep punching. And by the time I finish with this 95 thesis, your organization is going to be knocked out, cold on the floor, receiving the 10 count. It's a shame. It's a shame that you can't man up and call. God bless you, saints. Come out of her. Come out of Babylon. Don't waste your time. Don't drag your feet. Don't lollygag. Don't fool around. Don't lose focus. Get out of your church. If your bishop is Roman Catholic, get out. Get out. God bless you.